Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence in You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Sari Flesh, who, as I said earlier, had a little trouble coming here this morning. It really was horrendous out there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's still raining.
Slow down.
Slow down a bit.
The floods.
The floods are all over the place. It's going to be that way for the day. Our next guest is Rebecca Miller. Rebecca Miller is many, many things. She's the Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Services for Aging. Okay. She's the radio host with me. We're both the host of the show. The only person that's in charge of everything, of course, is Christina Liu.
Of course.
So now this is going to be the battle of the hosts today, because we have to see who Christina likes the best when we leave, you know, and she's watching us. But Rebecca's here today because most recently she just finished getting certified as a yoga teacher or yoga instructor.
Right.
And which in and of itself is a tremendous thing. And the whole purpose of Project Independence, and I'm not putting Rebecca as a senior, is throughout life you want to do something, you do it. And you feel like you want to go in a, not a different direction. I mean, Rebecca's not changing anything. This is something she's adding to her resume.
Exactly. I mean, one of the things we do talk to seniors about in encouraging fitness, and that you're never too old to start. I mean, we have seniors in our program who have never really gone to a gym or have ever worked out, have lived kind of a, you know, a sedentary life, and have started working out in their 70s and 80s. So you're never too old to start, though. With yoga, with all fitness, it's always best to go to your doctor and make sure that you're in the right kind of condition to start any kind of exercise. So, you know, even yoga. And one of the reasons I became so interested in yoga was because I started doing yoga at 50.
Okay.
And I tried it in the past, but it was just something that never clicked for me.
You went to like a group class?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what happened was I had done it in the past a few times, and it just never, I really didn't get it. I didn't feel it. You know, there's the poses, there's a lot of instruction, there's a lot of detail. You're constantly aligned, you're stacking your knee over your ankle, your shoulders over your waist. You want to make sure that when you're in a pose, you're always in the best position so you don't injure yourself, because, you know, injuries can also come with yoga. So I just never really
that
got
never
into it.
Yeah.
Right?
I never would have thought of it. You know.
So, about 3 years ago, I went to visit my friend. She had a little place in Hampton Bays. And she goes, come on, we're going to go take a yoga class. And I said, oh, no, you know, it's not for me. You know, I can't concentrate like that. And she said, just come on. And so I walked into the most charming little yoga studio in Hampton Bays. I wish I could remember the name of it. And it was so welcoming and had this, like, beautiful smell. It was just this kind of very, I can't even explain it. Just like a floral odor, but not too strong. And we all sat down on a mat. And I told the instructor that, I said, you know, I really don't know yoga. Like, you know, I had all, it's what you hear when new people walk into a studio. You know, I've never done it before and I really don't understand it. But, you know, I know that it's good for me because I need to relax. And she's like, well, you know, yoga is a practice. And there's no medals. No one at the end of the day wins a race. It's an individual practice. And there's no judgment. And I said, oh, wow, you know, this sounds good. You know, you're not judging yourself. And if there's somebody on the mat next to you that's, you know, incredibly experienced, you know, don't judge them. And they don't judge you because they're doing the practice for themselves. It's really something you're doing for yourself. And you're always practicing. I mean, you could talk to any yogi that's been doing it for 30 years and they'll say, oh, I'm still practicing. I mean, so I did it. I took the class and I got back to, I live in Farmingdale, and I noticed there was this sign on in front of a yoga studio of $29 a month, unlimited yoga. So I said, you know, let me go. Let me try it. I've been hooked ever since.
Wow.
And after a year of doing it, of practicing, they were, you know, encouraging even newer people who just started to take this yoga instruction. It's a 200-hour yoga teacher training program, and it's certified, and you become, you know, it's a master's level class. So I'm 200-hour certified, and I'm part of the National Yoga Alliance, and I'm certified, I'm insured. And when I go into a studio today, I have the credentials of a 200-hour certified yoga instructor.
Right.
And it's amazing. It was every other weekend for 4 months, 18 hours a weekend. In those 4 months, I had to take, I think I took a total of 60 classes too, because part of it is you have to
really. 2 9-hour days.
It was three. It was
well, you did
Friday. Evening, Friday
oh, okay,
night,
okay.
Saturday, and Sunday. And it was life-changing. And I have to say, I got it. I can't explain.
That's fine.
I can't explain why I was so drawn to it or why it's working for me. But I've always worked out, John. I've always gone to the gym or run or played softball and done things like that. But as I got older and I did start to, you know, my older injuries started to revisit me from back in the day. And you know, I would be on the elliptical, I would be on the bike, and even though I'd hear my music, I was getting bored. It wasn't fulfilling. There was something missing. And when I do yoga, it's such a mindful experience. It's the connection of breath to movement. And when you're connecting your breath to movement, you're inhaling, you're rising up, you're exhaling, you're lowering down. We use our Ujjayi Pranayama breath to help us through certain poses, which is the breath where you inhale and then you breathe. Like, remember the monster in Young Frankenstein? He makes that sound.
Oh, yeah.
That's where that breath comes from. You don't make the, you know, Frankenstein sound, but you just breathe in and then you exhale, making that noise, and it really helps
both through
you
your nose.
Through
you're more
your
personally involved.
Yeah, and it really helps mm-hmm. you when you're in difficult poses, because mm-hmm. there's lots of twisting. So, I mean, overall, it's just been a really benefit for my life. And when you're doing yoga and you're concentrating on the breath and you're concentrating on your poses and you're stacking and you're aligning and you're twisting and you're engaging your muscles, you're not thinking about being bored, because you're not. You know, you're
right.
Really, and it helps your mind kind of get this, for me, you know, this kind of peacefulness while I'm doing yoga. And, you know, if you have usually, I mean, I've been guided by the greatest yoga instructors. I've just had the most amazing experience, and they're really helpful with guiding you through. You know, when we start our yoga practice, we dedicate it to somebody, and we set an intention for the practice. So that whole hour is really about, you know, if you want to set your intention as world peace, which I've been doing lately, and you dedicate the practice.
Oh, okay.
I usually dedicate my practice to my boys, my sons, and they've been incredibly supportive, and my younger son comes to almost all my classes. And
as an observer, or he actually is doing
oh,
yoga?
Oh, he does yoga.
Is yoga
okay.
more mat work than standing up?
It's both, and that's a great question. So there's so many different styles of yoga. There's vinyasa, hatha, yin, there's chair yoga. So you really need to understand what kinds of classes you're looking at. So recently, we do yoga for our Project Independence members, as you know, at Fun Day Monday and also during the year. So really depending on your level of ability and flexibility, and again, checking out with your doctor, because even in chair yoga, where you're sitting in your chair, your soles of your feet are on the earth, your shoulders are stacked over your hips, your knees are over your ankles, you're in a pose, you're in a seated pose. But from there, we are going to do twists. So we lift from our waist and maybe we twist to the right. You know, so you want to make sure that any old injuries that you have been cleared by your doctor, because you are engaging your spine, your twist, your sides. When you twist, you're massaging your organs. So it's really a good idea to, you know, check with your doctor, making sure they know what particular type of yoga you're going to be doing. But there are classes where you spend just as much time on the mat and classes where you spend most of your time standing up. There's power yoga. There's, you know, different levels of classes, hatha, you know, gentle hatha, hatha 1, hatha 2. and vinyasa. And vinyasa is what I was certified in, the vinyasa style. Okay. And that's, you know, like I was saying before, you're connecting your breath to movement. And a vinyasa is actually a sequence of movements that gets you through this particular flow where you come into from downward dog, you come into plank, and then you can lower your knees and your chest and your chin, and you leave your hips up in the air, and then you flow through to a cobra position, and then from cobra you can go into a gentle back bend, and then you curl your feet up back into a downward dog, and that's a vinyasa. So
it's always the same.
That's a vinyasa.
Okay.
Though, you know, there are different levels, like there are different modifications. So when you're coming down into a pose like a vinyasa, you're coming down knees, chest, chin. That's kind of a little easier of a style. You can come down from chaturanga, which is you're literally coming down right from into a push-up. You're not lowering your knees, your chest, or your chin, and then you're flowing through into your back bend. So that's kind of a more trickier way of doing it. But it's really up to you. So, you know, what we say is, you know, you can come down knees, chest, chin, or flow through chaturanga. And then you just do it. No one's telling you, because really an instructor is more of a guide and making recommendations and making sure you're giving the right cues. You may see a yoga instructor standing the whole time and not even, you know, modeling or showing you anything. And sometimes there are yoga instructors who will, you know, show you a lot of the poses, especially if it's a lot of people are new to yoga. But it's really your own practice. So, you know, there's a lot of things in a lot of different sequences that perhaps I can't do. But I, as a guide, I can explain it to you. I mean, I am never, John, never going to put my foot behind my head. I'm going to tell you that right now. I am 100%.
At the break, I was going to ask you.
Yeah, I mean, I could do some other things, but you know, that's just not even something that I can do. And for other people,
that's a demotion for a host. I can do it. Christina, I can do it probably.
Actually, yeah, can you? It's making us a little uncomfortable. Can you just get back to your chair? Thank you. So there's... there's a lot of different styles and ways of doing it. And I mean, there are yoga instructors who do one-on-one. You know, there are large classes. I actually teach at a gym and also at a yoga studio. And it's very different.
What would be a good amount of people in a class that you would be happy with and the person who is participating would be happy with?
You know, it's a great question. Again,
you know what? I'm going to hold that question.
Sure.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back to Sarah's question. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.